Today on Real Life Radio.
Whatever's going on with our nation, we need to pray for our country. We need to engage in our country's welfare. But the bottom line is our citizenship's in heaven. Mm-hmm. And these weary days should be driving you to the Bible.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Do you love this time of year?
I do. I really do.
Isn't it great?
Don't you?
Yeah. I'm David Jay, and this is my friend, Pastor Jack. Coming up on Christmas, what do you do on Christmas Day?
You know what? We're at the stage of our lives now where it's pretty cool. We're back to getting up early again.
Yeah.
because of the grandkids and all.
Isn't that great?
Because we live in Southern California, we'll probably put our t-shirts and shorts and flip-flops on and have Christmas.
Yeah. Well, there's a scripture reading that you like to go to at Christmas time regularly. Do you want to go into that?
We are, in fact, everyone, we have decided to bail out from our regular programming.
Yeah.
And we're going to do something a little bit different today. We are going to be going through some scripture and some encouragement because, Davey, we're going to be looking at truly what is a weary world.
Hey, let me jump in real quick because we've been in Revelation.
Yeah.
We're just jumping out for a day. Why are so many people interested in the book of Revelation?
Yeah, around the world, Bible teaching programming, Bible teaching messages, downloads, the world is going to the book of Revelation, which is very, very fascinating. When there's a crisis on a global scale, we know for a fact that people go to the book of Revelation. Non-believers go to the book of Revelation. They're seeking answers. And they have a sense that time is up or something is critically different.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we see as well in our programming. Mm. And so we are now, as you said, we are currently in the book of Revelation because it's answering what people are looking for. And that is, frankly, the coming of Christ is near. People are sensing, believer and unbeliever alike, are sensing something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's deep in the world going on.
Yeah.
And that they need answers.
Yeah.
And so,
So, Christmas time.
Yeah.
I love this story from Luke. Mm-hmm. Do you want to read the scripture?
I do. And everyone, we're going to do this like we do at the church I pastor here in Southern California with the congregants every Sunday and Wednesday. So, Davey, I'm going to start out with verse 1, you'll pick up in the even-numbered verses. So it's Luke chapter 2, everybody. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered.
The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria.
So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city.
Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David.
To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child.
So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night.
And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid.
Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people."
Amen. Verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord."
And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us."
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
And all God's people said,
"Amen."
Yeah. Yeah, hey. What a story. And you were going to say something real quick about Linus and the Peanut team.
I've heard you tell a story about Charles Schulz.
Well, a lot of people don't know that the creator of Peanuts, Charlie Brown and all, Charles Schulz was a believer in the Lord Jesus.
See, I didn't know that until you. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, and of course, him living and working where he did.
Yeah.
Here in Southern California, in the Hollywood scene and the stuff that all he did with his productions and things, there's a remarkable event that's told by one of his family members. It may even be his wife, but the fact that he had what you and I just read, he had that in the original script, and when CBS looked at it, they said, everything's good to go, but we want that Bible verse. We think it's going to just kind of freak people out, so remove that. And we'll be launching this. So remember, at this moment, Charlie Brown Peanuts, this Christmas special had never been aired before. So he knew he could not do it, but he didn't say a word to anybody. So as they were asking, do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it? He deliberately waited to the last few moments to submit it. What they did was he submitted it. They didn't review it. They aired it. And the CBS management went nuts when the entire nation heard it, read Luke's gospel, and they were furious until they wound up getting, on Monday morning, the response from people.
What was that like?
The nation began to respond, thank you for putting the gospel in this kids program, and the response was overwhelming. Charles Schulz became a hero, and the executives crawled back into their corners and, and pulled their wool over their eyes. He got the gospel in.
He got the gospel into what he did in everyday life.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you and I should be doing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Davey, what we want to do, the world is weary. The world is tired. The world is certainly in a place now where in our life, we've never seen something like this.
So let me throw this in here real quick. A year ago, right, when we were sitting here, I was sitting in one place. We were doing it over Zoom, but weren't we at a stage where we're saying, okay, this is just about done, right? This whole COVID thing is just about done, and our weariness will go away. And we find ourselves in the same place, but folks are weary for a whole lots of reasons.
Not folks are weary because they're losing their jobs.
Yeah.
There are people on the other end of these microphones that don't know how they're going to make their mortgage now at this Christmas season.
Yeah.
They have woken up to the fact that they went to school, they went to trade school, or they fell into a great job. They've got their degree, and now they're unemployed.
Yeah.
They're unemployed and they're weary. People have suffered heart attacks. People have suffered, accidents and just the drama of life that has gone on. And then, unfortunately, the way that our government is handling things, it's piling on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way things are being handled, it's adding insult to injury, where now we've got a record number of Americans that are not working. And people are weary. But here's the point to why we're having a sit-down talk today
at
this table, is the fact that it doesn't have to be that way for us.
Yeah.
And it is not that way for us. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. No, actually, I'm happy to say it's not easy for me to say. Guiding a very large church through these last 2 years, having our doors open and ministering to literally tens of thousands of people. We baptized, Davey, as you know, over 3,000 people since the pandemic, but the constant attack and pressure. Weariness tempts all of us. But here's what we want to make clear today, Davey, is that there is a spirit that's running around this world that we would just say is confusing. A lot of people are confused. Nothing makes sense. Why this? Why the other? How come? I don't understand. Just know this. Weariness generates confusion. But God's love, His word, when we read it, Davey, it combats confusion. So, for example, if I were a doctor writing you a prescription for confusion right now and weariness, I would write you a prescription to read now the book of Psalms.
Okay.
I would want to begin now to associate and learn about what is it that these psalmists experienced and went through, and how did they survive? Some of them, most of them are David, not all of them are David,
yeah.
King David, but some of them were facing immediate death or abject poverty
yeah.
and danger, and God spoke to them. And that's what we need to do today. We need to make sure that we are not caught up in this spirit atmosphere of confusion. And so I believe that's the prescription for America right now, is get your eyes off the media, get your eyes off of the lies, the statements, the propaganda, and
yeah.
go to what's true. I mean, I only know one thing that's true, and that is God's word.
I was talking to my brother the other day, and I was feeling weary, okay? And I said, dude, I said, I'm kind of down today. And he says, well, stop watching TV. That was his first reaction. Stop watching TV.
He's right.
Yeah. And I went in and I started reading.
Except for real life TV.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I mean, you know, you're watching the news and you're thinking, are you kidding me? You know, because so many times I've said this over the past couple of years. Are you kidding me?
Mm.
And you know what? You know what came to me after that is, God will always surprise us.
Mm.
We can think that we know what God's going to do, right? And you wake up and you go, really? Sir, you did it this way? Why didn't you do it my way?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And he came to this earth, not my way. My way would have had him, you know, sitting on a throne. Right?
He would have been born at the Jerusalem Hilton.
Exactly.
Not some stable in Bethlehem.
Hey, tell everybody what a manger really is.
Yeah, manger. You can still see mangers in use today in actually various parts of Israel, but certainly in the regions of Bethlehem. A manger is not a cute little wooden structure that you would imagine in the West. A manger is hollowed out sandstone.
Yeah.
It's rock. It actually looks more like a sarcophagus or a crypt if you think about it. It's a block. It's been carved out to hold water or grain.
Yeah.
And the sheep would drink or eat from those things. And so when the Bible tells us that Jesus was laid in a manger, for me, because I've been there so many times, I mean this with most reverence, please. I don't see a little cute wooden nativity scene happening. I see the Son of God laid in a stone manger trough that really resembles a sarcophagus. All that's missing is a lid.
Yeah.
And
it's true.
It's remarkable to me that baby Jesus, even at the moment of him being comforted and placed in a manger, to me, speaks of his purpose and reason for coming, and that was death.
Yeah.
That was death
and
on,
when
for
we
us.
Were in Israel and we saw the sandstone, the manger, I mean, I literally thought, really?
Uh-huh.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it blows the Western mind,
yeah,
you know?
It's true.
Yep. So, David, again, regarding a weary world, David and I want to encourage you. You look around, and I get it. You talked about the news.
Yeah.
Our nation's coming apart. Our nation may very well be coming apart. So what if it does?
Yeah.
What does that mean to your
My
home?
My God's not coming
what
apart.
Are you, exactly. Yeah. What are you going to do about that, friends? And I want to encourage you right now. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul the Apostle is speaking in a moment of incredible pressure, tension, and weariness. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We need to remember that whatever's going on with our nation, we need to pray for our country. We need to engage in our country's welfare. But the bottom line is our citizenship's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And these weary days should be driving you to the Bible. Friends, listen. You know people. You may be that person. These weary days of these last 2 years has either driven you closer to Jesus or further away from Jesus. And we are all at this table encouraging you to draw closer to Jesus. That is so essential. I've been praying this prayer, by the way, I just would like you to know about this for some time now, regarding my own country here in the United States. And it's found in the book of Habakkuk. My goodness, when's the last time you sat down and read the book of Habakkuk?
I can't even say Habakkuk.
Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. He said, O Lord, I have heard your speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. And boy, I tell you, Davey, our nation needs to turn back to the Lord. And here we are celebrating Christmas. People are trying to get the economy going, and they've got the city lit up with lights, but so very few people know why there is a Christmas at all.
So I was watching TV the other night, and I'm going to throw this name at you, Henry Winkler. Remember Henry Winkler?
I barely do, yeah.
Fonzie.
Okay.
On Happy Days, all right?
Yeah.
When he said in this interview, when he was done with Happy Days, he became rudderless.
Mm.
Rudderless. And he said, rudderless is a terrible condition.
That's right.
Right? A lot of folks have been feeling rudderless, you know, the last couple of
years. Which explains the record in 245 years. The record number of suicides in America.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you're not a producer, Steve. You know, you're not allowed to talk about this stuff. Because if you get hit by a Mack truck, you died of COVID.
Yeah.
No one's talking about record numbers of suicide where people have lost hope. Why? Why? Because they became weary and they didn't get that weariness addressed.
Yeah.
And when weariness is not addressed, you get physically ill. You'll get physically ill. Mm-hmm. You'll feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
You're depressed. You get up late. You go to bed early. When you do wake up, you never feel rested. Like he said, rudderless. You look out the window and you just think, I'm just going to go back to bed, or I'm just going to put something mindless on. That is weariness, my friend. And God did not create you to live like this, even at a time like this. I firmly believe that when days like this are now upon us, when I read my Bible, these are the days that define our faith. These are the days that define people. And we all love, both in scripture and in Hollywood hits of films and in reading history. We love heroes.
Mm-hmm.
We love champions. I'm reading a book right now about the life of Winston Churchill, and nobody would have known who this guy was except for a crisis.
Yeah, true.
He was the only guy standing against Hitler in Europe, and people thought he was nuts.
Yeah.
Listen, you need to get out of bed, and you need to wipe the sleep from your eyes, friends, and you need to make sure that you lay hold of a rudder. And we're talking about the rudder.
Right.
The rudder is the Bible.
Right.
Grab a Bible verse, start reading the scriptures, read the book of Philippians, and when you read a verse that touches your heart, write it out.
Write it down.
Longhand. Write it out.
Write it down.
Don't type it.
Yeah,
Write it out.
Yeah.
Write it out and say, Lord, I'm going to do this today.
Yeah.
I am going to do this today.
Yeah.
And get out of bed and get going, because friends, listen, don't die a premature death that is brought on to you by weariness.
Mm-hmm.
Weariness can keep you in a cave of grief and depression, and you don't need to be there. That is the world lying to you. And I love what your brother said. It's the news.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the news. Everything is catastrophic. Turn the stuff off.
Yeah.
I mean, just turn it off. Get into the Bible and watch what happens. In fact, check this out. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 says that I speak in regard to need. For I have learned in whatever state I'm in, and for us it's California, to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned, Davey, this is what we're talking about, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
People think that's a verse you quote before you go out and play your football game.
Right.
No, that's a verse you grab onto
when life happens. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, look, we sold 100 units on Monday. We got sued on Tuesday. You know what? I'm trusting in the Lord. I can do all things. I can be successful in Christ, and I can be in abject poverty in Christ. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Because I need not grow weary, because he is on his throne and his word never changes.
A little story that you told that was, I've heard you tell it in the past, about an 80-year-old man who called into the church because he was so hopeless. Do you remember the story you told?
I don't.
You don't? An 80-year-old man called into the church, left
maybe
a message.
Maybe I'm that 80-year-old man.
left a message on the church voicemail.
Oh!
Yeah, remember this? Go ahead.
I do. Yeah. 80-year-old man. And this message he left, it was really a message that not only that we had to respond to immediately as pastors.
You called it a 911 call.
It really was a 911 call because now I'm talking about responding as a pastor with the gospel.
Right.
But maybe many of you do not know this, but if somebody calls a church and leaves a message that it sounds like a suicide is imminent.
Yeah.
Boy, if you don't respond to that, you're in a whole lot of legal trouble.
Yeah.
But that's not our motive.
Right.
The motive was this man lived 80 years, and now he's reached a point that he's going to end his life. And by God's grace, we were able to get a hold of him, and we received numerous letters from him since that Jesus has transformed his 80-year-old life.
Yeah, and by the world standards, he had every reason, right, to be down, to be depressed. His wife has just recently died.
That's right.
And that's it. I'm done.
In fact, there were people encouraging him, Davey, to—
Yeah.
There's no reason to be here anymore.
No.
We cannot let people nor Satan himself speak us out of the promises of God. And so I know we're running really close on time here. You guys, you may be looking around right now and your family may look like it's on the brink. Mm. And I want you all to know, especially look, if there's a father right now listening to me, if there's a dad, I would encourage you to take the lead, that you would right now say, kids, we're going to seek the Lord. Mm. I don't know what I'm doing, but we're going to open the Bible and we're going to start reading the Gospel of John.
Yeah, perfect.
And I don't care. You might say, well, Jack, I'm an atheist. I don't care if you're an atheist or not. And personally, I don't believe in atheists. So what you can do is open up the book of John, start reading it, be a man about it. Don't be afraid. Right. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
Read the book of John to your children and watch their countenance change.
Yeah.
You know what? We're being reduced in our country right now to getting excited that if we get a Christmas card at Christmas.
Yeah.
Supply chain demand, economics, politics, COVID junk, all that stuff. Look, you know what? Everything about what's happening in our world is driving us to simplicity.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more precious and simple than the gospel of Jesus.
Yeah.
That he died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead. And the Bible tells us that for all those who put their trust in him, they will never be put to shame.
I'm going to ask you to pray in just a second, but I just thought of something very practical. When you talk to the folks about, you know, getting into the Word, and people are thinking, well, where do I go? What do I do? You could actually just get a hold of our website, jackhibbs.com, and you've got a bunch of devotional stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And there's Bible reading that you can do. You don't have a Bible right beside your bed. You got your phone right beside your bed, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
You can jump into that. So there's just a little thought.
Yeah, let's end with this, Davey.
Yeah.
It's Jesus in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And I love that.
Mm.
In the world you will have tribulation, difficulty, hardship, crushing moments. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so to all of you, we want to wish you not only a Merry Christmas, but a Holy Christmas. And what does it mean? And what will it mean? That's really dependent upon you.
Yeah.
What you do with the Christmas message, it'll either be a seasonal thing for you or to be an eternal thing for you.
Yeah.
So, Father, we pray right now for our family of listeners. Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, that they would divorce themselves from the tension and pressure and the anxiety of what a Christmas season can bring upon them. And, Father, that they would open up their hearts to the reality and the power of the gospel, to slow down and to read the gospel narrative, the gospel account, eyewitness account of the life, ministry, the words, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas. And so, Father, we pray, and Lord God, that you would rain down your peace and your power, and Lord, that you'd bring salvation, that you'd send tremendous revival to your church and salvation to the lost, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.